on Fanboy Smackdown, episode 7.5. Feedback, baby.
Hello, and welcome to Fanboy Smackdown, part deux. This is
7.5.
This is Tony.
And this is Tony.
And we're here, we're recording this after we have recorded the second part of the Kevin Smith duology, our second show. We got a lot of feedback this week, and we wanted to
touch on it. The second part of part two.
Damn right.
All right.
This is part 2B.
Excellent.
Or is it not 2B?
Oh my god.
I went there.
Speaking of SmackDown.
Speaking of beer.
So basically we have...
drank too much.
We've drank a lot. It's been neat. And now we're going to...
it's been spiffy too.
It's been pretty keen. And we're going to... Comment on the commentary that has been sent to us, of which we really appreciate it. Continue to send it. What are we going to start with here?
Let's start with Darren. Let's kick it off with the big one.
All right.
This is a long one, so bear with us, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to say after we listen to what Darren says.
I would like to say, however, before we listen to Darren, that for two guys that can do a weekly podcast, about 45 minutes long, about pretty much pop culture and nothingness, this guy is not that loquacious.
All right, go.
Okay, SmackDowners, I've been promised a call for a while now. Here it is. Darren Goodhart here. I'm a friend of Tony's. Well, one of the Tony's, anyway, from The Office. Commercial artist and geek, but a geek with perspective. You guys are certainly off to a good start. I thought your first two shows were really nicely done, in particular the first episode around Star Wars. Many things are said here that needed to be said about reactions around how one trilogy is better than the other and so on. And really, fans should take this to too much of an extreme, never allowing for the fact that Lucas has grown as a person, as well as an artist, and how a 15-year gap like this certainly can affect how you want your final story to be told. I've never had a problem with any of the changes to episodes 4 through 6, and it's certainly an artist's prerogative to change his work. And besides, what's the matter if Han Solo did or didn't shoot first? He's still a dumbass by the time Jedi rolls around. Yeah, I kid about it. People act like this is the first time that something like this has happened, and how dare Lucas come in and screw with this special thing. Well, writers and artists are notorious for augmenting and changing and editing their work on subsequent reprints or reviewings. It's just something that's done. They're not trying to screw with their audience. They're trying to improve their work, and that's just what Lucas did with his first trilogy. It's just that now we're in a time when people can be more vocal about it, and they like to exercise that, but often without any thought attached. Now into the Batman episode. First off, Armin, drinking and commentating just do not mix. A little clarity of thought might do next time instead of being a little toasted first. As much as you might want to say the Batman Begins is all turning on a computer to do stuff, it's just not the case, and there is much more of that movie that's more live effect than you think. The Joker had a plan. Boy, that's a new one on me. If he had a plan, it was kill Grissom, and then after that he was just pure wacko. If anything, he was just jealous over this attention to Batman. As far as Batman Begins not being able to be made as it was now in 1989, I've got to totally disagree. I think it very much could have been made that way, and maybe even being more effective than what Burton's film was. I remember reading some things of Denny O'Neill quite a bit before Tim Burton's movie came out about some of O'Neill's thoughts on how a Batman movie should be done. For instance, he thought Roy Scheider would have been the perfect actor to play Batman at the time. And what O'Neill said was much more in line with how Batman Begins turned out. Burton's film was just fine for its time, but try transposing that to now and say, well, could you make that film today and have it be anything less than being laughed at? I don't think so. Well, maybe not laughed at, but would have been as well and universally received? I doubt it. The thing that Batman Begins does so well is it takes its roots pretty seriously. To me, Christopher Nolan is more following the precedent that Richard Donner set with the first Superman movie, where the first two acts of the film solemnly set up the mythology, and the third act settles it into something that's more in line with what's out there in the comics. Also, now, Batman actually is a more known commodity in the DC Universe than the comics. This was before Infinite Crisis happened as well. And in the comics, the Joker never had a tie with Batman's origin, but because of the high opera way that Burton's movie was made, my guess is it was reason to tie it together just to give its ending showdown greater resonance. And after that, it seemed that every big-ass action movie made after that had to have that connection between the hero and the villain, have to have the girl in the middle of the whole thing, and had to have that final showdown take place at the top of some high building. On to the Da Vinci Code episode. Sorry, guys, I'm just not a fan of podcasts being conducted out of bars or any place other than their studios. Primarily, at least to me, it sounded like you guys were fighting the background noise all the time, and as such, it took away from the show. Plus, it's always one of those things that strikes me that geeks, and we're all geeks, feel that they have to do it in order to say, hey, we're cool. It's just not needed. Now, I do think, though, that getting the interviews at the theater was a great idea. It's just I would almost rather see that edited into a way that works well within a studio podcast. And now episode 5. Now, I seem to recall at the start of the episode, you guys mentioned you were going to talk about yourselves for a little bit. Now, after 2 listens to the show, I've yet to find that section. Just who the hell are you guys? And what gives you the right to lay down the smackdown? Yeah, I'm kidding. You are off to a good start. And I know I'm looking forward to more shows and hopefully calling in a few more times, too. Have fun with them. And if you ever need someone with a pro Matrix films point of view, I'm the guy. Take it easy.
Hey, Darren. This is one of the Tonys. Thanks for the feedback. A lot of feedback. You really got it in there and let us know what your thoughts are on the first 5 episodes. Thank you. Touching on some of the points that you made.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
To smack people down.
Well,
don't take it personally. We're going to smack everyone down this episode. It's all good.
The point you made about Han Solo, I think one of the interesting things about George Lucas's change to the film that Han shoots first, or Han doesn't shoot first, actually makes the ending of the film work better for me. If Han shot first, that made him more mercenary. And if he's more mercenary, the ending just doesn't work as well. It's less about the money.
Well, I would have to disagree with
you. And saving his ass. Even Kevin Smith,
that's right, VSU listeners, if you still care. Kevin Smith said that the worst idea was Greedo shooting first. And here is why. Because
the character becomes inconsistent.
You believe that he becomes inconsistent, but if you allow for yourself to believe that his heart is in a sense melted a bit by his relationship that he develops with Luke and Leia in the process.
So you think you're saying mostly he's got Leia. Some love for Luke?
Well, a brotherly kind of, you know, rapport, you know, whereas Leia, it's a little bit different. He wants to kill her, but he's beginning to like her. And yeah. And I think if you can buy into that, there's no reason Greedo has to shoot first. Plus it was very poorly done. Oh, I mean, yeah. it looked horrible, man. I mean,
he was what, 5 inches from his nose?
I remember watching it in the theaters thinking, this is what I came to see. You know, like, I was really disappointed in that sequence, man. Yeah. I was like, no way. Ruined it for me.
I still stand. I think it was poorly done. I think it was silly. But to me, it explained the character better.
You know,
and explained the ending better.
I disagree.
I still don't buy that he should come back.
Well, I know that. I mean, I personally don't either. But I mean, it's a classic fantasy in which
a murderer,
anti-hero,
a murderer,
he's a smuggler who
is a murderer,
has to kill people if he has to. I mean, come on, man. I mean, they're all murderers. They're all killing people in that movie.
No, they're killing clones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those are still people.
They're
man.
Killing the faceless.
You
want to
get into a little, what is it? Little moral the, science argument over this whole thing?
The faceless Hessians from the German invaders.
Going back
to our last feedback.
Nevsky,
show.
We are beginning to self-reference now on a regular basis.
Damn, we've been doing this a while.
Someone needs to smack us down. Anyway, I disagree. I gotta go with Darren on this one.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna let you talk a little bit about Armin.
Yeah, Armin developed a bit of a radio persona. It would appear he just stepped in there. Maybe he did have too many beers. I can't remember. Was he drinking?
Yes.
Was he? Okay. I mean,
He walked in and had a bud.
Well, one, of course, that's all it takes for us. But, I mean, man, it was so funny. He sits down, and we talk about it. And we talk about Batman versus Batman Begins. We have this argument all the time. That's why he wanted to do it.
Right.
And he's pretty, you know, articulate. And then he sits down, and you turn the record button on, and he's like, dudes, Batman is cool. And I was like, who are you? Like, it was hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was great for the podcast.
I was like, this
is awesome. If we were, like, totally benign of any personality in the first two episodes, which I didn't know if people would like us or not, I was like, Armin just upended all that. So either way, we win.
We can be dicks now.
Exactly.
or stoners, or druggies, or drunks, or whatever.
So I was all about... I thought it was very interesting. I agree that I don't think Joker really had a plan, although the way Armin articulated it, and I think he was inferring more than was actually in the film, but the way he articulated it made sense if you follow his path of logic. Now, I just think he was inferring too much. It wasn't all there.
Now, you have a little more knowledge about Armin than anybody here. How old is Armin?
He is 24.
Okay, 24. Some quick math. So he was, what?
Like seven.
Seven when the film came out.
Yeah.
Looking at that, he was the same age when that film came out that I was when Star Wars came out.
Yes, he...
So he grew up with this film in his library. Yeah, you guys both...
We were both...
In your library of filmology.
It's kind of a sacred film to us, man. Definitely.
And where for me, you know, I saw this film, a month after I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I brought a different set of experiences to it. And I thought about that more after the fact that... I can understand how he could have studied the film more. Where, I mean, I know Star Wars, you know. I grew up with it. I can't tell you how many times I saw it on HBO.
I think Armin also is a fan of great performances. He will like the Jack Nicholson Joker.
Yeah.
He will like Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York, the Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
Like, he just likes great villains, great, great characters. I think that really, that, you know, I mean, and Armin even said in the podcast, he was like, I think the Joker goes without being said. He's like, that's the whole point of the movie, is to have Jack Nicholson in it.
Yep.
And he was right. And and there was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last podcast, the Batman podcast that we're referring to, but Armin and I always think this is hilarious, that in the first rolling credits of the film, there's a screenplay by or produced by or something to that effect, and the two names are Sam Hamm and Warren Scarron.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. We laughed about that when we were kids, like, all the time. Anyway, now we revealed how much fanboys we are, so. So, thanks for smacking us down, Darren.
All right. Now he also mentioned that he felt that Batman could have been made, or Batman Begins could have been made in 89.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to have to disagree with that. I don't know that... I mean, this was... Since Superman. This was the first big superhero movie.
When was Captain America made?
Oh, we can't even call that a big superhero movie.
You can't call it a big superhero movie?
Most people didn't even know it was made.
I remember my friends liked it when I was that age.
Most people didn't even know it was made.
Okay. I just remember it being around and all my friends liked
it. It was available on video if you looked for it. Then again, so was Dolph Lundgren as the Punisher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, so...
Well, I don't know if Batman Begins could have been made... or
and
not.
I'm not talking technically.
I really don't know the answer to that question.
It would be interesting to see. I don't know if it would have been supported as well as the Burton Keaton Nicholson style was, because it was still it maintained the camp. It maintained a lot of the camp that the last big reference everybody had to Batman was the campy TV show. Now, I know all the fans, all the guys who read the comic books. I read the comic books. That's not what you saw in the comic books.
I think the fact...
But if you took everybody that read the comic books at that time, took them to the theater, watched the movie, you would have probably had a box office that it was probably in its last couple of weeks.
Batman Begins relies on a few films that predate the original Batman for you to understand where they're going. It relies to a certain extent on Indiana Jones. It relies to a certain extent on James Bond. It relies to a certain extent on certain action motifs that allow Batman Begins to exist as it does. So I wouldn't say that it isn't allowed to exist in 89 if it gets made. I would sympathize with your claim that, you know, it may not be as commercially viable.
Right.
But I think the main difference is that if you cast Jack Nicholson in the film, you don't have a chance as much to tell a story if you're using Jack Nicholson as the Joker, because he has to have enough scenes where he can do the Joker bit.
Yeah.
And if that's what the film's about, then you can't make it Batman Begins. I really think that that's the difference, that Begins is an ensemble film. No one really stands out. No one has... I mean, Christian Bale's the main protagonist, but and he does a great job, but it's right. not a film where...
It's a good ensemble.
Right.
It really is. Gary Oldman as yeah. Gordon is... Oh, God, he looks like him. He looks like somebody put Silly Putty, magical Silly Putty, in the comic book, lifted it off, blew pixie dust on it, and out popped Gary Oldman as...
And I mean, you'll like this, awesome. Mark, because, Mark, you were like, oh, this retarded tones, but... I thought Gary Oldman should receive a nod, an Academy Award nomination at least, for his role, because it's so against everything else that he did.
It's very, very much not Gary Oldman. When yeah. I heard he was being cast in that role, I thought, what are they playing at?
Like,
because he's so over the top, and normally he's one of the reasons I went to see it. Guy.
Like, I didn't know anything about it hardly. I knew it was coming out. I was a little wary because, hey, the Batman films haven't been great lately. And well, then when I heard Chris Nolan was directing it, I got intrigued. And when I heard Gary Oldman was in it, I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what dragged me in to see it. Yeah. Chris Nolan's directing, Gary Oldman's in it. Great. I thought Gary Oldman would be the villain. And I just thought, great, I bet it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And what I got was much more than I expected, and Gary Oldman delivered a great performance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I would have to kind of agree with both you and Aaron in that I think it could have been made then, and I think it could have worked. But it probably would not have been as commercially successful as you maintain the Burton style was.
Right.
But I think that more hinges on Nicholson, really, than anything.
Absolutely. Well, and a lot of that, and I don't know if you remember this, but, I mean, I was the age that I was affected by the hype surrounding this movie. There were a lot of even news articles at the time that, you know, they were poking fun at it, but the articles, the headlines were, does it live up to the bat hype?
Right.
And
I remember all the hype, but we ate it up because I was in, like, second grade, man.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I just loved all the hype.
There were, you know, the 10 o'clock newscasts the week of were like, is this going to be able to live up to the hype? And it did.
It did live up. It was a good movie.
It's more than lived up to the hype.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, you know, in the evening with Kevin Smith, you know, and we're bouncing in and out of the Kevin Smith podcast because we just did it like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, we just kept on recording it.
So, but he says, yeah, I like Batman with all of its flaws and shit. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
You know, it was flawed, but it worked. You couldn't deny that it was incredibly intriguing.
Oh. I think for 1989, for the movie going audience, I think the movie that they made was probably the most commercially viable version of Batman they could have made at that time. At that moment. It's a zeitgeist moment. It was a moment in time that movie worked with the audiences, with the actors. They were in the right place at the right time. It worked.
I think this might become the Batman podcast now. Yeah. We spent a long time on this.
This is the real Batman podcast now that we know.
That last podcast was for losers.
now that we've got Armin out of here... We'll do our own. Do another one.
I think he might take offense to that. He might just record a whole other Batman podcast and send it to us.
He'll break into our feed. If you see another feed that's just Armin's podcast, Armin SmackDown.
Psh, he's like, psh, dudes, that man was awesome. Psh, I'm out. No, he just assumed a sort of, man, I don't know what he was doing. It was hilarious, though, and I liked it. Like, it was like listening to rock radio Smith or somebody talking about Batman, and he's just going, and I'm like, just go with it, man.
Roll with it.
It was Armin the character, definitely. Yeah. I don't know what his, well, let's put it this way. I want to have him on again. I don't know if Darren is a big fan of that, but I want to have him back because it was great fun to do it.
I mean, I know in some
and I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know who he's going to be when he comes next
time. In some episodes, we should give spoiler warnings. I guess whenever we have him on, we need an Armin warning.
Armin warning. Just put dudes in front of the...
Yeah.
Dudes, this podcast contains Armin.
It works for me. I do. We're still talking about Darren.
It was great.
Darren's voicemail. He had some problems with the Barcast. What's up with that?
Well, here's the one thing.
He didn't feel the love for the booze.
I just got done failing an LSAT, so I think that I can comment on the logical premise flaw in his argument. He assumes that because we're geeks, we don't like to go to bars or that we're trying to do it to look cool. And I just would like to say that alcoholism and nerdiness are not mutually exclusive. You know, I mean, how can you really try to be cool if you're just a plain old alcoholic that has to have a drink after a film? I mean, I really don't fully understand the argument. But that being said, I do understand the technical problems that he point out.
Yeah.
That we had a hard time. I want to do it again. Also, it was just out of the sheer convenience that...
It was across the street.
Right. at the time...
Dude, okay, to paint the picture, we walked out of the theater. We said, dude, I want a podcast right now. And we literally said, because dude,
I want a podcast. We just saw the movie. Yeah. We were like, where are we going to do this? And at the time, I didn't know where you lived. I mean, like, we're doing them here now, but I didn't know where you lived.
Right.
And we always had done them at my house before.
Right.
So you were like, let's just go to Hot Shots.
Oh, we went across the street.
I said the name of the bar.
That's okay.
That's right, everybody.
We went to Hot Shots. If you're in St. Louis, you know of Hot Shots. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
Probably not the best place in the world to podcast from.
Probably not.
But you know what? It was a good time. Beer was drank.
I think it was our best episode, man. I really liked it. I guess I also like the material that the Da Vinci Code allowed us to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of a fanboy, if you will, of that kind of debate.
Sure.
And even though I didn't read the book, because I personally feel,
know how you feel about Dan Brown.
That
he went through that before.
Yeah, that drinking a cup of coffee and then being on a plane in two pages does not constitute a chapter. But, you know, that's just me. So, you know, whatever. But anyway, on to Darren's next point.
The last point that I think that we were going to talk about was he wants to be part of the SmackDown. He wants to be part of the SmackDown for the Matrix cast when we ever get around to talking about He Who Shall Not Be Named.
I'm all about the Matrix podcast, but only if we do it in a bar. No, that's a joke. No, I think it would be great. Have him on. I think it would be... He obviously has a preformed opinion on it, which he wants to share with the rest of the world, so I think we should have him on.
Well, see, he knows what my opinion on the films are. So
right. I think I fall somewhere in between you guys, you know, where I'm like, hey, you know, they were good films. They weren't great.
Love. You're somewhere between great love and visceral hatred.
I mean, what can you... since this is a feedback show, if you want to talk a little bit about The Matrix... in that he brought it up, I think it would not be out of context.
No, and really...
Just a little preview, if you will,
yeah,
to keep the listeners baited.
To whet the appetite a little bit. Give him a little tease.
Come get a taste.
Okay, this is getting bad, kid.
Anyway.
You know, the best thing I can say about the Matrix movies is that I cared so little for what was going on by the time... the third movie came around, that I thought it was a great action movie. I didn't care about anything else that was going on in it. But I thought it had some great action sequences in the third film.
I think the third film has to be given credit for the fact that they pulled the trilogy off. I mean, there's a lot of ways they
pulled
could have
something
ended.
Off.
There's well, but admit there's a lot of ways that the films could have ended, and turning it into a bit of a classic good versus evil film at the end, both seem appropriate given the way in which the first film was written, and that followed through till the end.
Yeah,
I thought was because they could have derailed the whole thing, and actually, I really enjoyed mostly the second one because I liked how they upended your notions of the first film at the end with the architect. Spoiler warning. I like that. I did not like how abruptly they brushed that aside in the third film. That bothered me because I thought the third film was all going to be about the debate about reality. I did not know it was going to be, you know, a film about defending Zion, even though I know that in terms of the plot that had to happen, right. I thought that the film was going to be about the debate about reality, but it was not. So in that sense, I was disappointed, but the fact that they pulled it off and it was entertaining, I think makes the film work. You know, my
biggest problem with the whole trilogy is that in some of the least of the sci-fi books I've read better stories than this.
But the story is a classic story. It's not as...
But
everyone
I've,
thinks
but
it's
read
groundbreaking,
better.
But it's not.
It's not. Read any sci-fi, especially from the, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, the stuff that was
but
done...
you accept that Star Wars is a classic story, the first three, in its trilogy form, but you won't accept
as
the
mythology.
Same about The Matrix.
As mythology. But it goes back to mythology. It's not.
Well, The Matrix is totally about mythology. The Matrix is a Christian mythology wrapped up in computer science. That is what it is. I'm just saying. That is exactly what it is. Is it anything less than that? I mean,
he needs
on.
Another beer.
I mean, but The Matrix,
I think without turning this into a Matrix podcast, one which I'm not prepared to speak on because
it is also
I've seen each movie exactly once.
Okay, well,
and I yeah. do I before I do another before we do the Matrix cast, I do want to revisit the movies as
right.
much as I feel that will cause me physical injury.
All right, so you guys heard it here first. You heard the preview for the Matrix podcast by Fanboy Smackdown.
Including
and, psyched or
and,
what?
And we will have some guest commentary from
Darren himself.
From Darren.
I'm intrigued. You know, the film is about Asian philosophy to a great extent, Taoism in particular, but it actually rests on the premise of basic Christian mythology. And I don't believe it's mythology because I believe in Christianity. But if you were to refer to it, you know, as merely a story mm-hmm. and call it a myth, that is what the film essentially rests on, in my humble opinion. But I'm just one Tony. I'm not both. That's all I can say about that.
All right. Let's go on to our next voicemail then.
Hi, Tony and Joni. This is Chris from Two Girls on a Podcast. I was just catching up on your podcast, and I got to episode 3 where you're talking about Batman. And I noticed you talked about Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which made me very happy because it is hands down one of my favorite movies. Probably because I love Batman just overall. I love how they always do the stories. I've never really seen one I didn't like other than the ones that we will not speak of that were after Tim Burton, and even the second one by Tim Burton, I'll admit, not so great. But in any case, I was really glad to hear your discussion, and I'm glad that you mentioned Mask of the Phantasm because I'm hoping that people who haven't heard of it before, because almost every time I talk to people about it, they say they haven't, we'll go out and check it out because it's well worth it. In any case, I'm enjoying the show and hope to hear more of it as we go. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for leaving the message. And tell Elizabeth that we said hi. I have listened to Two Girls in a Podcast and definitely recommend it. These ladies definitely know what they're talking about in terms of sci-fi. And it was great to hear the love go out for Mask the Phantasm.
It's a good film.
I believe I mentioned even that that it was superior to
either Batman or Batman Begins.
I believe I mentioned that.
I respectfully disagree. However, it's a great film.
Dude.
There is
a chick said it's otherwise.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I know where you're going with this. But if my allegiance to Batman was only as fragile as to be shaken by a chick's commentary...
Hey, I said it before she called. That's all I got to
say.
It's true.
You're not a chick, though.
Not the last time I checked.
By the way, if anyone has resented being referred to as dudes or chicks, too bad.
It's our show.
It's going to be.
Get your own microphone. But, download a copy of Audacity. Contact Libsyn. You can get your own hosting site.
You let all the secrets out. Anyway.
It's not that tough.
Yeah, I know.
Buy your own beer, though. We're not getting involved in that.
All right.
And buy us some while you're at it.
You have derailed. Anyway, Batman Begins and Batman and Mask of the Phantasm kind of form an informal trilogy of great Batman films. And,
they do.
Each with a different artistic take that somehow works and somehow kind of weaves into a similar main character. I mean, really, for Batman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The topics, the thematically using Batman and the characters of Bruce Wayne and Batman as opposing sides of the same coin is a theme that is explored ad nauseum throughout the mythos of Batman. How one of his main villains, Two-Face, uses literally two sides of a coin. It's a villain that showed up in the movies. Granted, it would have been cooler to see him as Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee Williams, they set that up.
I have a feeling we will see Harvey Dent.
I don't doubt it.
I have a feeling that, in fact, I'm calling it now. I bet we see Harvey Dent in the third installment of this Chris Nolan franchise, if Chris Nolan directs the third one.
And we can only hope that he does.
Yeah.
Let's hope he sticks with it.
His penchant for psychological thrillers would almost make Harvey Dent a foregone conclusion for
Absolutely.
The third one.
Absolutely.
And I would be very excited about it.
Yes. Well, thank you, Chris. And by all means, if you guys get a chance, check out Two Girls and a Podcast. That's at twogirlsandapodcast.libsyn.com. I know that because I've listened to all their episodes in like the last week, and they've got some really great shows.
Amen, brother.
All right, so let's go on. Let's listen to the message from Mark.
Okay.
You know, the voicemail is for Fanboy Smackdown. Listening to this, you guys' first podcast regarding Star Wars, specifically regarding Jar Jar Binks. I have to say, personally, I hate the character. I wanted to kill him. But I'll skip past that because you guys made some pretty good arguments in terms of being for kids and whatnot. But here's my basic point with old Jar Jar and why I think he was a detriment to the story as a whole, or at least the way the story was shot. Keep in mind that I saw this movie umpteen years ago and I haven't seen it since, probably right when it first came out, and I haven't watched it again since. A thing I thought was just absolutely ridiculous regarding the Jar Jar character is that there were, and I have like a count on this, how many people or how many adversaries, because they weren't always people, that he killed by accident, or how many things that he got through or helped his team, so to speak, out by doing accidentally. He would trip over something and kill somebody. You know, he'd back into something and open a trap door. I actually don't know if that ever happened. I'm just throwing stuff out there. But basically, that was my whole problem with Jar Jar. Besides the fact that he annoyed me so much that I wanted to fillet him, you know, and make some Jar Jar barbecue, I really think that it was really corny that entire points of the movie hinged upon something some dumbass dinosaur did. So I'd like to hear your comments on that. And anyway, if you need to get a hold of me or something, Anthony will definitely recognize my voice. All right, see ya.
Well, thank you, Mark. You know, I really don't have anything to say about that. You know, his opinions on Jar Jar are his opinions, and
I
think filleted Jar Jar kind of says it all.
I know Mark, and I give him a lot of props for his comments. They were interesting, but I'm surprised Mark didn't say, instead of Jar Jar barbecue, Jarbecue. I really thought that would have been on the tip of your tongue. I mean, you're quicker than that, buddy. Come on, you know, make it work. But
calling him out.
Yeah, that's right.
Calling him out on his voicemail.
Well, man, you don't know how the quick-witted this guy is in bars talking to women. Anyway,
speaking of being called out,
well, man, there are a lot of good stories, man.
I look forward to hearing a few of them.
Yeah,
maybe we can share some next time.
Right on the Fanboy
Smackdown. Last episode you're coming to
the Bachelor Smackdown.
It'll be the episode before I have to report that you're in traction.
He's no, man. Actually, Mark is a very funny guy. So that's why we were wondering, where's Jarbecue? But anyway, I do agree. I mean, I don't agree with the fact that I didn't want to kill Jar Jar, I mean, or Jarbecue him, as it were. But, I mean, I would have to say that he did kill a lot of people by accident. That bothered me. I mean, it was the most kiddish of all the installments, and it was for comic relief. I mean, it was a lot like when
the main character was, what, 9?
Yeah, I mean, it's not unlike when, although this is a little bit more morbid, but it's still the same thing, basically. The C-3PO in Empire Strikes Back is got his head on backwards, or he's walking around with, you know, his whole body messed up, his arms attached to his leg, and Chewbacca's doing a horrible job of putting him together. This stuff is obviously not important to the story, but it still serves as comic relief, and I think that's basically what was going on in the episode 1. Except that Jar Jar doesn't know what he's doing, so you're pretty much like, "Well, this is retarded." I can understand that, but whatever. I mean, I'm willing to accept the film with its flaws.
Yep, so. And we have one more voicemail from another member of your fan club, apparently.
Yeah.
Let's just play it. Okay. Let's play it. We'll talk about it after.
All right.
Hello, Tony Squared. My name is Karen. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I'm calling for two reasons. First, I think you guys should do a segment regarding the first versus the second Ice Age. And, yeah, no, I know that sounds ridiculous because the first one would win, obviously. But I think it'd be really interesting to kind of kick it around a little bit. I've had one beer as well. And also, Tony, I think I know you if you go by Tone sometimes. I've met you a long time ago from like a friend of a friend of a friend. And I would just like to kind of give an oral petition that you don't do anything with that Anchorman, Burgundy Man thing or something. I've heard you're kind of a neurotic fan about that movie. But anyway, keep up the good work, guys. And I look forward to the Ice Age segment. Thanks.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, that was Karen. my girlfriend, Karen. She's a very sweet girl. And Ice Age is her favorite film of all time because it's really funny.
We never got that clue.
Oh, well, I guess that was not inferred. But, I mean, come on. If you're going to call into a podcast, you're going to want to talk about your favorite film. So I'm sure she was down with the Ice Age. And we will take her up on that.
Someday.
Yeah, someday. The Ice Age versus Ice Age 2.
Maybe we should prep for that when Ice Age 3 comes out.
I think so. Hopefully it'll be if Christopher Nolan directs the third installment, then I'll be looking very much forward to it. So, but Karen, mwah, I really appreciate you calling in. That was awesome. And we really appreciate it. And look for the Ice Age podcast very soon.
Okay, that was the last of the voicemail that we had.
Wait, whoa. I forgot about one thing. Why were you laying into Anchorman? I mean, that's hardcore. I mean, I know you can share between us that you don't like the film, but to tell the whole world, I mean, that really hurt. Probably more Ron Burgundy than me, but, you know, the point remains. So, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, go ahead.
I think any mention of Anchorman deserves a scotch.
I would have to agree with that. Scotchy, scotchy, scotch.
I love scotch. Anyway, we do have... we had a couple of emails, and I'm not going to read them word for word, but I will mention Jesse, who sent us an email saying that... And I'm not going to say he or she, because Jesse is one of those names that could be he or she, has listened to us and heard about us through News Askew. So thanks, Jesse. Glad you're enjoying the show.
Appreciate it.
Keep listening. We may or may not get better. We can promise that we will drink. That's about all we can promise. Really, really cool email we got from Travis from Fanboy Productions. If you get the chance, go check out fanboyproductions.com. Really, really cool stuff. He sent us a link to a video that they did. And I don't mind doing just a mini review of the film they put out.
Okay.
I think it's fair game.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
3 o'clock in the afternoon is the name of the film. Travis, the guy
Travis Bowles.
That's it, yes.
It's a Star Wars fan film about...
A lightsaber fan film.
Yes.
Actually.
About three gentlemen who serendipitously discover a suitcase on their front porch which contains lightsabers. And they put them to good use. And I think the most outstanding element of the film... is the special effects themselves, and I can just imagine how much fun these guys had just playing around.
Oh, you know,
wanting to set up these you know, the premise and everything. Actually, I think the first 5 minutes of the film is the best, because the characters,
the dialogue's good, the characters are funny.
Yeah,
I mean it's you know, and we're going to be critical here because you sent it to us, so, and we can be. The first 5 minutes, the dialogue's really tight. These guys, they're just having a great time. I think the dialogue starts to fall apart a little bit once the special effects come out. But at that point, these guys, the special effects are masterful. For a production that is, it's obviously not, you know, high production. There is not $1 million in this budget. It's really well done. The special effects are awesome, and I feel safe to say we're waiting for our suitcase of lightsabers.
Yeah. It was also a very wise choice to add three beautiful women at the end who had red lightsabers. I thought that was a very wise choice.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Definitely recommend checking out fanboyproductions.com. Say hello to Travis and let him know that you heard about him here on the Fanboy Smackdown.
All right, everybody. This is the end of episode 7.5. Peace out.
Okay, we had a little bit of a premature ending there.
We did?
We did, because there was something we forgot.
To talk about the phone numbers and the emails and all that stuff?
The phone number and the email that you can never remember.
I'm not the
the pimp.
I'm not the publicist of the Fanboy Smackdown.
the media whore.
Yeah, I'm not the media whore.
To pull back in Kevin Smith into the conversation.
Right.
Email. Please send us email. FanboySmackDown@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you see we play them, and we will make fun of you. Or not. the voicemail, 206-339-FBSD. It's 206-339-3273. We can also be found on Skype at Fanboy Smackdown. If you like us, let your friends know. Feel free to you know, hand them your iPod and let them listen. Let them borrow it for a couple of days. You know, if they don't bring it back, that's your problem. Or burn us to a CD, pass them around. Let people know, but let them know where you
found
us. It's
much more inexpensive and efficient way of spreading the word.
Yeah, and you don't lose your iPod that
right, way. Yeah. So, I just want to say one more thing. Karen, love you. Are we ready to peace out now, finally?
Peace out.
All right.
Fanboysmackdown.com,
baby.